You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, y'all.
It is the Sports Hangover, and we are closer to, of course, Saints training camp. Getting there. One day to reporting. And 2 days until practice. Plenty to get into. Including, what's going on in Atlanta. Nothing like, I'm not going to say catastrophe, but controversy to start things off when it comes to those dirty birds in Atlanta. Coming up over the next 3 hours, we'll have a little bit of fun. Jordy Intern found, yes, another set of lists. But this one's actually fun. It's very interactive, right? And it's ESPN.com going out and asking 50 analysts to give me a quote about each quarterback? Or is it just a quote about each player, Jordan?
Well, the 50 NFL insiders all came up with, came up on the 32 best quarterbacks from tier one, tier two, tier three.
Okay, so they're talking about, so it's quarterbacks though, that's my point. So they're talking about each quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and it's kind of cool the way the website did it. It just gives you the quote. And then there's a little button that kind of looks like a little, 360 sort of thing.
It's like a flashcard.
Exactly. So you have to click it to see what quarterback it is.
We'll post some of those on Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. Do it maybe in the first, maybe like in the first half hour, do one or two, three quotes and see what quarterback you think this is being made fun of. Well, not made fun of or being said of. Why don't you start with all four NFC South quarterbacks?
Okay.
Go ahead and put the quotes of all four NFC South quarterbacks, and then we'll see which one. And then like in the top of the hour, we'll tell you who those quarterbacks are being referred to. But it'll be interesting. We'll have a little fun with that here as well. As we said, one day, can you believe that, until the report date of your New Orleans Saints. Have you been seeing what Thomas Morstead's doing? First off, he's been training for America Ninja Warrior. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Actually, he's getting ready for training camp. But, good old Thomas Morstead, who I think can you win a Nobel Peace Prize for, like, humanitarian of the year? I mean, seriously, right? So he went and he helped the Minnesota Children's Hospital. Well, he helped a fan, helped contribute, and then he turned it into something that helped the people up there. And then something that helped the people here as well. The other thing that you saw over the last several weeks, as we said, you've been seeing Thomas Morstead kind of work out. And a lot of these workouts, Jordan, have you been seeing? I mean, they look like you're training for American Ninja Warrior. The inverted wall climb, I mean, chin-ups, and I mean, just you name it.
I didn't think a punter could be that ripped.
Well, the exercises he's doing is unbelievable. So one of the things that he's been doing is supporting the Christopher Cardero family. And they're trying to raise some money for him. He started it by donating $10,000. And the website is 64Chris, WYGWG.org. Okay? And it stands for What You Give Will Grow. That's his foundation. And it's a cause to help fight cancer for a little child. And to help him out, that's what he's been doing. So it's going to the Cordero kids. 100% of the money we'll raise to go to the family for this purpose. And one of the things he's been doing over the last, 2 days, and he's doing it again today, is how many pull-ups can Thomas Morstead do in an hour? Jordan, it's insane. So he's getting a ton of help, obviously, and the money raised already, $68,000. They're trying to raise $80,000. 2 days remaining, 587 people have given to the cause. And again, I want to say it was like 280-something that he did yesterday. I probably am wrong on that. I think it might be more of the amount of pull-ups that he did. So, essentially, he's trying to – every pull-up that he does is to raise some money here as well. And he did it again today on the Saints Facebook Live page. So, it's pretty incredible, again, that he's out there just helping people. But not just saying, hey, come out and do that. He's doing – have you ever done pull-ups? Like, you've done it, like, right? Like, you know, like a gym class or something of that nature, right?
Yeah, maybe in elementary school when
How
I actually could.
How many of you think you could do in an hour? Because, like, after every pull-up, you start boinking out, right? I mean, the biceps start getting tender. The shoulders start to hurt. I mean, the grip, right? You understand what I'm saying? 200-plus. I'm trying to find the right amount that he did yesterday. It's insane. You know,
that he's can barely do two.
Well, you could do more than two. In an hour, you can do more than two.
Maybe with, you know, did you see that Thomas Morstead helping that guy? I think he had cancer, helping him, you know,
right,
do it also.
So
and maybe if he helped me out like
that.
It's
been retweeted. ESPN, at ESPN, retweeted yesterday's efforts in which it says Thomas Morstead recently helped raise $60,000 for the children of former Saints staffer Chris Cordaro, who has been battling cancer for the past 3 years. So, two kids. That just breaks my heart to even read it. And you can see him helping, you know, one of the Saints staffers doing it. I'm sorry, I grossly undergave or undersaid the amount that he did. Thomas Morstead in an hour yesterday. 418.
So you said half before.
Yeah, 418. And actually, the way it's written, it says the former Saints employee who's battling Saints cancer. So this is for his kids. Oh, well, that makes it a little bit tougher considering you probably what that means. Trying to raise money for his kids, if you know what I mean. So, one of the pictures at the Saints Twitter page put up there, at Saints, you can see it. And I guess that's Chris next to Thomas Morstead there trying to do some pull-ups there. So, that's just awesome. I mean, right? I mean, again, we get so caught up, right? I mean, look, we're going to get into top stories later on here. You know, Julio Jones, disrespected, saying he's not showing up to training camp, wants to rework contract, Boogie. Disrespected when he was offered $40 million for 2 years, and
then people are like, oh, well, it was during the season, he could have got more.
You know, and again, and then we have reality where literally you have a football player trying to raise a couple of thousand dollars to help the kids of somebody who used to work for the team who's battling cancer.
Right.
You know, it's just I love bringing up stories like this because we need to be brought to reality sometimes. You know, in this we get so caught up in it, right? Standings. This team has picked to finish it. That's real life right there, man. But that's awesome. I think it's one of the reasons, though, honestly, that this fan base is so attached to this team. They really legitimately have a lot of good guys on this team, right? I mean, like, are you surprised Thomas Morstead's done this again? He's already grown. How many times has he grown out his hair for kids that have cancer, you know, to...
Yeah, locks of love.
Yeah, exactly. He's done that several times since he's been a Saint. And just not even in the calendar year. I mean, the Minnesota thing was, what, January? Right? Through the playoffs, in which he helped raise the money
might
there to,
February, huh?
To help, you know, build a new wing over there at Minnesota Children's Hospital. I mean, he raised so much money to build a wing. They built a whole new thing. Now here he is over there. And again, you could just go online, tweet, Facebook post, hey, you know, help out. And a lot of people would, you know, start a GoFundMe. And a lot of people would. He's out there doing pull-ups to try to, you know, he's earning it by every pull-up and stuff. But, again, if you want to go see what I'm talking about, at Saints, they're following it. Thomas Morstead as well, he's doing it. Jordan, if you want, you can retweet the link here as well. And kind of help out here. It's 64chris.wygwg.org. It's kind of like a GoFundMe account. You can scroll down and you can see the recent donors, anonymous, Jody, Trevor, the Roberts family, $20, $15, $25. And that's the thing. When you have a bunch of people that can just put up a, you know, a 10 spot or a 20 spot, it just helps to the cause. It really does. And you can do it anonymously. But anyway, it just tugs at you, you know, because that's – we're going to talk coming up next segment with Sean Fazan from Fox 8 Sports about the Saints and position battles. And we're going to talk coming up at 12:30 with Nicholas Lewis, who runs the website Talking College Football. But it just kind of gives you an idea, really, of what sort of matters, right? So – if you got a chance, go give it a check out over online, 64chris.wygwg.org. And those initials stand for What You Give Will Grow. And it's inspired by Thomas Morstead. So the Saints punter helping do that, and he did it again today, trying to do pull-ups in an hour. 418 pull-ups is what he did in an hour. That's incredible to me, isn't it? Jordan chiming in with his two. You can do more than I'll give you more than two in an hour.
I really don't know.
There's no way I can do 418, though. There's no way that's happening. I'd tear muscles. I'd like to think I can maybe do 50 in an hour. That's a ton for me.
50?
50.
No way. No way. I'm sorry. I'd like to give you more credit, but
Look, I'm with you. I would set the goal at 50, but it
would
probably
set your
more
goal
like
at
25.
No, I would set your goal at 15.
15?
15.
I can do 15 in the first go. I think I can do 10 to 15 in the first go.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you're
the thing is, how long do I have to rest to keep going? It's incredible. 418.
Yeah, no.
It's 418. I mean, that's remarkable. I'm talking about it from that case. But, again, it's just another kudos pat on the back on a guy that I don't know if the guy can win a Peace Award. But
well, that's what he should be
he's
doing.
He's out there doing.
You know, what I think most of these athletes should be doing,
well,
using the platform.
Again, he's out there doing that. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll speak with Sean Fazan from Fox 8 Sports. We'll start going over some storylines. What are the things that he's going to be paying attention to here, as well as we are just a day away from report day. Sean Payton, Mickey Loomis in the past, they've talked on Wednesday. We'll have that for you Thursday. And also post-practice sound, because 8:40 to 11:40, practice. Hour one, don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. KingInjuryFirm.com is the way to go. Check out.
Intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Yes, no more lists and just meaningless chatter. We're just a day away. Well, maybe 2 days. All right, 2 days, then we can actually start talking about practice, what we've seen on the field. Sean Fazan from Fox 8 Sports. With the crew, we'll be taking care of you throughout the season as well. At Sean Fazan is the way to follow him on Twitter, at Sean Fazan Fox 8. And Sean, I know you're super excited, and even welcoming a new member to the team, because obviously with Hondo no longer there, you kind of need a Saints analyst, don't you?
Yeah, we got a good one. In fact, a record-breaking one in Duke McAllister, all-time leading rusher. That stands this year with the emergence of Ingram, depending on, you know, what he's able to do. But still, Ed and Deuce, who is really grown into that analyst role, and was really just a good guy to be around. It really was a win-win for everybody. So I'm super excited about working with Deuce this year.
All right, Sean, we got a ton to get into. So we're going to kind of do this kind of rapid fire form. First, I need to know from you, though. You know, it's kind of, you can see it. You know where the gym is, Sean. How many pull-ups can you do? Isn't it incredible what Thomas Morstead's doing? Great cause. I just talked about it. But 418 pull-ups in an hour. I'm sure you've been seeing his videos leading up to training camp. He's been counting down the days. He's training like he wants to be a contestant on American Ninja Warrior. How many pull-ups do you think you could do in an hour?
Yeah, not that many. I consider myself to be in decent shape, but, pull-ups were never my thing. So, in an hour, I don't even want to take a guess. Maybe 50? I don't know.
That's what I said. If you're you're saying 50, I'm in trouble because you're in a lot
you're
better
at 15.
Shape. Yeah, I'm at
not
15.
50.
But it's incredible. It's incredible what he's done, man. Really, since the start of the calendar year with Minnesota now, just helping people and making the awareness. But Sean, that's kind of one of the reasons I think, and we'll start here with this team going into the season. There's a lot of excitement about this team. I think the team relates to a lot of the players. The players have sort of embraced it as well. Even though they're only in their second year, you've heard Lattimore and Kamara say they love the city. They love the vibe, what they've done. And I get the sense that there is an excitement that I would argue we haven't seen in the Peyton era. What do you think? Do you think the excitement going to 2018 is the most it's been since Sean has taken over the team?
Going into a season, it's up there. I can recall, look, beating 2010 after the 2009 season was just, there was just a lot of it was last year carrying over into the next season. But what I think it hasn't happened really in a long time, that this level of excitement, this level of, confidence. That could go two ways, but I really feel like the DNA of this team can handle those expectations because, after coming off three straight 7-9 seasons, I don't know if anybody expected what they had last year. But now that they had last year, this year the expectation is double-digit wins. I mean, anything less to me would be a disappointment, unless barring some major injury. So it feels like they have the DNA to handle it. They don't seem burdened by it. They seem to embrace it, and they should. This is a very good and, to me, a very deep team, maybe one of the deepest teams of the Sean Payton era. So I think they've got the right DNA and the right mindset to attack a season that's not going to be easy. I mean, there's always new pitfalls every year, and a schedule that's not easy. But away we go,
You touch on it there. We'll get into the rapid fire part on certain things and storylines. We'll look into it. I keep referencing the NFC like the NBA Western Conference, Sean. I honestly legitimately think there may be a 10-6 team, the 11-5 team. I don't know how it's going to shake out. But I think the 1-2 seeds could easily be 12-4. I don't see 13-3 just because how everyone has to play one another. But I could see a 10-6 team. This could be one of those years where a wild card could get in, and they have the talent and could make a run to at least get to the Super Bowl, if not even win it.
Yeah, I mean, look at the NFC South alone. Only one team can win a division, right? But there's three legitimate contenders in the division in the NFC South alone. Look at the NFC North. I mean, with Aaron Rodgers coming back and Minnesota and an improved Detroit team and what looks like an improved Chicago team. We'll see. But still, no, I'm right there with you. I think it's the NFC South, last year had three double-digit win teams, three teams that got into the playoffs. So there's only room for four division winners. So I think, absolutely, that is the case. A team with a 10 or even an 11-win season could end up being a wild card. That's happened before. So, it just goes to show you the level of parity in the NFC, how talented some of the teams are, and if the Saints think this is going to be easy, they got another thing coming, but I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's where their mindset is at all.
At Sean Fazan, Fazan Fox 8 is the way to follow him over on Twitter. All right, let's get into some of the things we'll be focusing on and looking at it. Just the top three, obviously every day and every week we'll be focusing on what we see on the field. But off the top, Sean, I'm sure you've grabbed the legal pad, and these are storylines. For me, it's the quarterback battle at backup there, honestly, because if you don't have one, maybe you need to go look for one. So I think that there. Wide receiver cuts pretty deep there as to who actually stays on this team. And after Lattimore, Robinson, and Crowley, who are the corners on this team? That's the three overall storylines immediately off of camp. What about you?
Yeah, I like those three. I just think Taysom Hill has been he's been talked up so much, and we've got such a small sample size with him. A lot of our eyes are going to gravitate to him on the field to see if he can truly be the guy Sean Payton says or supposedly told Troy Aikman he could be. But like I said before, he's become kind of a mythical figure because we heard so much about him. He plays special teams, and now we got to see it on the field. This training camp will be big for him, and I think his development will be a telltale sign of whether or not they have to keep three quarterbacks or not, because if he develops enough, Sean Payton has shown in the past he's willing to roll the dice and go with a young, inexperienced guy behind Drew Brees. Did it with Chase Daniel over Patrick Ramsey a few years ago. And then at cornerback, you're talking about once you get down to, Patrick Robinson, King Crawley, and Marshawn Lattimore, you have guys like P.J. Williams, the draft picks that they signed. Arthur Millett, who worked his way onto the active roster last year. P.J. Williams, people kind of forget about him as well. So I think that there's certainly some talent there and some depth, and that's going to be a fight for those last few roster spots. Wide receiver is interesting because I can think of if they keep five, I mean, you have Brandon Coleman, Tommy Lee Lewis, a guy like Austin Carr, and, you know, one of the minicamp warriors that they show up, like, you know, like, what was it, Eldridge Massington was playing. Well, I mean, there's always a possibility there, and a lot of times special teams is the tiebreaker. But I tell you, the only real starting position that I'm curious about, because I think pretty much every position on this team is pretty set, but the only position where I could see some fluidity is that linebacker. Not necessarily who starts, but where it all shakes out. Is Anzalone the weak side? Is the Mario Davis the weak side? Is he the Mike? Is A.J. Klein the strong side? You know, does Manti Te'o work his way into the mix? I think at linebacker is the only place where you can look at it and say there's a little bit of fluidity as far as how it all shakes out, because you can mix and match personnel so much at that position. So I think that's a pretty good, to me, that's a pretty good indicator of just how deep this team is when you really, you have to struggle to find any sort of starting position battles, because I think pretty much everyone's pretty set.
What's different to me going into this camp, two final things for you, Sean, is I normally am okay, these are the areas of concern. These are the things you kind of want to look at. Like I said, other to me than the backup quarterback spot, I'm having trouble going. I'm worried about where is the pass rush going to come? Where is the linebacker play going to? Who's going to be that shutdown quarter? Do they have play at safety? Who's going to be the pass catchers? I kind of can answer those things. Are you on par with that? Do you kind of feel they're going into the season with probably the least amount of quote-unquote question marks, and it's almost like just get out of here healthy into the season?
100%. And I've kind of gone through my the roster look and the depth charts and different places. The only thing that I can see, and again, this is an indicator of how deep they are, is a fourth defensive tackle. I don't know who that player is going to be. You have Onyemata, you have Rankins, you have Davison. You know, who is that other guy going to be? You like to keep for a nice rotation. Mm-hmm. You know, in certain packages, a defensive end can kick inside. But I think in a perfect world, you'd rather have four. But, I mean, think about it. I mean, if you pull the NFL, teams around the NFL, and said your biggest concern going into training camp was who your fourth defensive tackle is going to be, I think every team would sign up for that. So I'm right there with you. I think this is there's the least amount of questions to answer. It's just a matter of putting it all together and just handling business when it comes.
All right. Everyone thinks Marcus Davenport, at least hopes, obviously makes an impact, right? So the rest of this draft class, though, Tre'Quan Smith, Rick Leonard, Natrell Jamerson, Cameron Moore, Boston Scott, Will Clapp, who out of that list you think makes the team in terms of, makes an impact somehow, some way, whether it's guy off the bench or whatever?
I think Tre'Quan Smith works his way into the rotation, got good size, got good speed, very consistent at Central Florida. When it comes to a receiver, though, and we've seen it from the Robert Meachums to the Marcus Colstons, if you pick up the system quickly, you get on the field quicker. That's what I want Marcus Colston. But if it takes you a while, Robert Meacham, you could be waiting a while. So I think knowledge of the system is the biggest thing for any wide receiver in Sean Payton's offense. The offensive linemen is interesting because you have Jermon Bushrod, you have Will Clapp, you have Rick Leonard, you have a guy like Cameron Tom, who they're very high on. You have a guy like Josh Larrivius, who really, when you needed him last year, stepped up and played well.
Right.
How many offensive linemen do they keep? Can you stash one of these rookies away on the practice squad? I don't know. We'll see. And in the two corners, does one maybe kick inside the safety, nickel? How can they contribute? And then, you know, with the signing of Shane Vereen and having a Boston Scott, you can only have so many of those third down pass catching type running backs. Now you have Kamara, you have who's a little more of an all around back, obviously, and you have a Vereen guy, you know, Shane Vereen, and then you have Boston Scott. So I'm curious, you know, is that a player maybe you can put on a practice squad? We'll see, and kind of see how the roster kind of shakes out. But sometimes when there are questions going in, but sometimes injuries kind of take its toll, and sometimes it's performance is clear cut. So you just got to wait and see how it all plays out.
At Sean Fazan, Fox 8, so way to follow him over on Twitter this season. Got plenty of shows, Sean, as you let us go. I mean, what do you got, like one every single day of the week, I think, on Fox 8?
Yeah, like pretty much when the regular season starts, just tune in to Fox 8 at 10:30. We'll have a show on. I pretty much guarantee you that. So pretty much every night of the week. So just tune in.
Yeah, Garland was telling me, I do think you have one pretty much every day of the week. So, yeah, just tune in afterwards when the news hits, man. Thank you so much for your time today, bud. See you in 2 days.
All right. See you out there, bud. Appreciate
it. There he is. That's Sean Fazan, Fox 8 is the way to follow over on Twitter. you know me. I've always been somebody. I try not to drink the. I really, honestly don't. Like, if anything, I've been you, Jordan. You've seen it, right? This is your second summer with us. I hate LSU. I hate the Saints. I'm a realist. I'll tell you. Do I think they stink? Do I think, you know, that they're not going to be good? I'll tell you. Do I think they might lose this? I'll say that if I feel that way. I'm just honest. It's not hate. But, man, I'm really having trouble trying to look at this team objectively, as I do, and say, I don't see a lot of weaknesses potentially, right? Obviously, the Bobos and things like that that you just get normally through a season will affect everybody, not just the Saints. But man, if they can somehow manage to avoid the bug, which I think still has to be full from the amount of injuries it snacked on last year. The good thing is this, as Sean put it, any team in the NFL would take what the Saints have going into report day tomorrow. Not a lot of question marks. Pretty deep and talented. Position battles would be for backup roles, I think, rather than starting positions. As opposed to 2 years ago, if not even last year, you're looking for starters. You're looking for starters. Right now, I think the Saints are looking for depth. Some starters could be getting pushed, and that's what you want. That's what you want. Sports Hangover continues next. We bring in Nicholas Lewis, Jordan the intern. He runs the Forgotten Five, a website that focuses and covers college football as we're getting closer and closer. Media days everywhere, all the way around. You had fun at the Sun Belt Media Day yesterday?
It was a lot of fun.
It was fun. But I love how all the coaches people. Were like, man, we're the champs. No, you're a champs. No, we're the champs. There's a lot of competitiveness.
There's some Twitter beef there.
I know.
And just the photos themselves.
It's incredible.
The ring. Yeah. And then the five rings.
You got a ring? How about five rings from Arkansas
I liked
State?
It.
No, it was fun. I love that. So he was there covering it, but he's also been at a Conference USA, to the American, which is going on right now with Tulane. So we'll touch on a little college football as well. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover Plus. Some interesting things that Jordy Intern's finding right now, as it is. We're here. It's camp week. So, yes, who wins the division? Who's this? Who's that? We got a lot to get into. Don't go anywhere. You have us all the way to 3 o'clock. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Training Camp Report is sponsored by New Orleans Harley-Davidson, the biggest selection of Harleys in the South, located at 6015 Airline Drive in Metairie.
With the start of training camp week comes more talk of expectations. The Saints 11-5 season from a year ago has many NFL analysts predicting the Black and Gold will be one of the teams contending in a loaded NFC. And not just for a playoff spot, but perhaps more. Now, whether you use the phrase eat the cheese or drink the Kool-Aid, a challenge for the team, says head coach Sean Payton, will be handling those expectations.
You've got to pay attention to the details, and there are certain things that you approach differently with the team coming off of some success. I know that there's a hunger in everyone's mouths just from, you know, the way the season ended a year ago for all of us. So, but you got to prepare right now to improve. We're competing against each other. You know, you begin that climb, and each week is a different challenge. So hopefully, and I do think we've got outstanding leadership in the locker room, and that's necessary. You know, at some point, any good team kind of begins to lead themselves.
I'm Gus Kattengill, and for more on the Saints, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Training Camp Report has been brought to you by New Orleans Harley-Davidson. The greatest bikes in the world are right here in your backyard at 6015 Airline Drive in Metairie.
This is Gus Kattengill inviting you to stop in at New Orleans Harley-Davidson across the street from where training camp's going on Airline Drive. And if you are interested in learning how to ride, New Orleans Harley-Davidson's Riding Academy has the best rider training in Louisiana. Mention my name, Gus, and you'll receive $100 in store credit when you pass the class. And on Saturdays, they always have to grill out burgers, dogs, brats, you name it. You know I love to grill, so stop on by. Get in now to New Orleans Harley-Davidson on Airline Drive. The 2018 Grand Isle International Tarpon Rodeo is July 26th through the 28th at ESPN New Orleans. We'll give you 3 hours of live coverage this Saturday from 3 till 6 p.m. from the Rodeo Pavilion. Casey Gisclair will host all the action and give you the leaderboard updates throughout the day. All brought to you by State Farm agent Ashley Berrios and Rescue Wayne's Aaron Heat. It's the 2018 Grand Isle International Tarpon Rodeo live this Saturday from 3 till 6 on ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving and foundations, to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788. Donlin Construction.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Coming up next hour, Barry Hurstius. There we go. What are you shaking your head for?
Brats, now Brats, now Hurstius,
I don't know what you're talking about. Did not say Brats. I said Broads.
Superdome, Stadium.
It's been an interesting week.
Yeah.
Barry, editor and featured columnist for Saints News Network, is going to join us next hour. He wrote a column, guys, on what training camp of yesteryear was like. Chain smoking, drinking right before and after practice. It's a little different now. A little different now, especially as we said, see what Thomas Morstead's been doing. Anyway, yesterday was Sunbelt Media Day. One of the folks covering Sunbelt Media Day was Nicholas Lewis for the website Forgotten Fives. Really good website, especially if you love your college football. Let's bring in Nicholas to talk a little college football now. Nicholas, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Tell us about Forgotten Five, man. Am I right in thinking that you focus on the group of five, right?
Yeah. So the idea is that, you know, over the last handful of years, the next handful of years, there's been this very slowly developing split between, you know, Power Five and a group of five. And, you know, the idea behind the site is to make sure that the group of five doesn't become the Forgotten Five. So, you know, there's a smattering of sites out there that do, you know, maybe they'll just cover group of five football, or maybe they'll cover just this one small school. But we try to get as many stories out there as we can that we think might otherwise go unnoticed.
Yeah, you can check it out there, the American Athletic Conference, the Mountain West, Conference USA, Sun Belt, and the MAC. Even there's some independents there as well. So let's kind of go through that here as we're getting all these different media days going on. When you take a look at the American, obviously here you have Tulane and a lot of different teams as well that are familiar, right, to folks that have followed Conference USA and such. And look, they've been trying to push, Nicholas, the P6, right? They're trying to get into that power five sort of chatter, which I thought was interesting because Carl Benson yesterday said the group of five conferences and at least the Sun Belt, stop worrying about that and try to kind of have these other group of five conferences, you know, battle each other, make those the rivalries and kind of build themselves as a tier.
Yeah, that was one thing I found interesting was Carl actually taking a moment to sort of deliberately throw shade at Mike Oresko, the American Athletic Conference commissioner, by pointing out how, you know, he feels that their pursuit of the highest New Year's Six Bowl is sort of the top of the mountain right now. And then any sort of branding or pursuits beyond that are frivolous until that gets achieved. And I sort of thought of that like, well, we've got UCF here, and they didn't achieve what they achieved last season because they sat around waiting for it to happen.
Right.
You know, they went out and made hires like Scott Frost and now Josh Heupel because they wanted to make things like that last season occur. But when it comes to the American, I also feel bad for teams like Tulane because, you know, Willie Fritz has done some good things. He's made a lot of progress. I was not expecting Jonathan Banks to become the quarterback he's become under Willie Fritz, but he winds up stuck between a rock and a hard place a little bit because you have this conference where, you know, Tulane is probably going to be a much better team this year, but I don't know that that's necessarily going to show up in the wins and losses, which is what winds up getting you hired and fired.
No doubt, Nicholas. I think one of the things that you look at when you see that conference last year is, my goodness, the championship game. We'll get to the Sun Belt, obviously getting a championship game this year. But, you know, you look last year, you had 11-1 Memphis, an undefeated. You had a one-loss Memphis team and an undefeated UCF team battling out. You're like, my goodness, how good do you have to be to even get to that championship game? You had some teams ranked in the top 25, and even still, you know, you heard Gus Malzahn in SEC media today. It's kind of not to take away from UCF, but, you know, we didn't bring our best game in that bowl when they beat us.
You know, whatever you need to tell yourself to sleep at night, to be quite honest, it's because for whatever reason, the simple statement of, yes, on that day, UCF was a better football team is just unfathomable to SEC ears. But we know the truth. We know that, okay, not every. I got to make an exception for ECU and UConn right now. But just about every team in the American could hang with just about any team in the SEC for one game. Now, obviously, there's a difference between hanging with and beating, and you need some good talent and a few good bounces to pull off what UCF did against Auburn. Mm-hmm. But the gap is not that big. So this is mostly just talk on their part. And then we'll keep proving it on the field.
No doubt, for sure. When you take a look at some of the other conferences here on the website as well, speak with Nicholas Lewis, runs forgotten5.com is the way to follow them online and then on Twitter at RememberF5. The Mountain West, is that sort of a conference that has been sort of forgotten? I mean, you have, you know, a lot of schools that you remember, I guess, part of other conferences. Does that make any sense?
Right. And it's interesting because for a long time, Boise has sort of been the flag bearer for the Group of Five. And it's kind of funny because I think at this point, Boise has been so dominant for so long that people have kind of forgotten how good they are. Because the Mountain West has been rather stratified for a few years in a row now. You've got the top of the top, which is Boise, and then probably San Diego State. You know, last year was, we're going to find out if Fresno State was a one-off or not this year, but I don't really think so. And you've got the very bottom. There's just a couple teams at the bottom that are really bad. San Jose State is way behind the curve and things like that. But most of the conference, it's very competitive, and for some reason, the highly competitive nature of a conference like the Mountain West gets looked down upon whenever it's the same excuse they use for sending like 6-7 Mississippi State to a bowl game. It's the exact same interconference competitiveness that makes it a conference that's really worth watching. Mm-hmm. But it kind of gets used by a downturn to some folks when it could be an upside to others.
All right, so CUSA, right? A little Conference USA action. You've seen some teams kind of leave there, go to the American Athletic Conference in the last couple of years, including Tulane. I kind of get that sense, too. They're still trying to create its own identity as well right now.
Yeah, they've many years in, they still are not quite sure who they are. And one of the problems with that is that whenever this last round of realignment happened, they lost a bunch of teams. And I think they kind of latched onto Tulane, who, for folks who don't know this, the main reason that Tulane was brought into the American is because it pulled the New Orleans market for the conference. And so USA decided that meant that all of their conference additions and realignments needed to be focused on markets. And what they didn't realize is that getting a certain market doesn't really matter if that market contains a team that nobody wants to watch.
Right.
And so that sort of got them behind the eight ball, and it's evidenced by the fact that they got their legs cut off in the last media rights renegotiation, and now very recently that's improved, but they're now, you know, sort of climbing out of this crater that they dug for themselves. And at this point, in terms of, you know, revenue or even on-field competitiveness, that they and the Sun Belt and the MAC are sort of all completely on level playing field, and they lost a lot of that advantage. So hopefully they can get that figured out sooner than later, but it's really challenging for them when you have a conference that's so spread out. You don't really have a regional identity like the Sun Belt or the MAC does. You also don't really have a national presence like the Mountain West or the American does. So they're sort of Malcolm in the middle right now.
Yeah, it's a very good way to put it. And obviously, I went to Southern Miss, so I follow Conference USA and what they can do. But yeah, you're right. That's a very, very good point. Let's move over to Sun Belt, where we were this weekend and saw you yesterday there. And look, there was a lot of competitiveness chatter that, that I got yesterday too. And, you know, the 4-1 bowl record from a year ago, best winning percentage in the bowls as well, really touting that. How competitive is the football in the Sun Belt to you?
Very competitive. The Sun Belt is always the most interesting and the most difficult to predict, just because the one thing they sort of have going with the MAC is that you know, the sort of regional brand that they promote is a good thing, and you know it does a lot of great things. It cuts down on travel, lets fans get to games and things like that. But one thing it does is it also sort of narrows down your recruiting a little bit, in that the primary source of recruits is kind of the same for all the teams, and that sort of creates a lot of parity that isn't necessarily present in other conferences. But that can be a great thing because it means a lot more competitive games. Now, it also means that you and I could predict one team to go 6-6 and the other go 2-10, and it would not be surprising for that to happen, or the complete opposite to happen. And there's both sides of that, whether folks think that that's a good thing or a bad thing. But one thing I was definitely intrigued by is that they took Reddit CFB's idea from a couple years ago, and they have not just their conference championship trophy, but now the MVP belt. And I was definitely surprised to see just how excited all the players were about that. So I definitely appreciate the Sun Belt's MO now of, you know, don't tell us who we should be. Talk about who we are.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I got that sense too with Carl Benson, Nicholas, that leadership is such a huge thing, and especially from, you know, the commissioner standpoint as well. Let's go move over to the MAC. What can you tell us about this conference here? I'm looking at teams, you know, and when I see Akron, Ball State, these are sort of the teams early in the schedule to SEC schools and stuff that are, I guess, like Carl Benson said, the check chasing sort of schools right now in that conference.
That's true, and the MAC has the nice part of being very similar to the Mountain West, in that if you took a look at last year's standings and you wanted to bet money based off that, you'd probably be pretty good. You know, to Toledo and Western Michigan, NIU, the West Division continues to be very heavily favored. You know, that's going to be the tougher division by a wide margin. But one team that if you want to sort of surprise your friends and pull a few bucks and an easy bets to put money on this year is going to be Ball State. Because everyone who doesn't know a whole lot about the MAC is going to look at them and see that they went 2-10 last year and go, I see. But a lot of that was injury, because they got to 2-2, at which point they lost their best quarterback, their best running back, and three of their best defenders for the rest of the season. And that does things to your plans and your ability to win football games. So now they have the benefit of, this is a team who, when those injuries happened, was probably on pace for a 6-7, maybe even 8-win season in a bowl game. So now they get back both all of those very good players and all of the depth that those injuries created. So they're primed for possibly a really big year.
Nicholas Lewis, he runs the Forgotten Five. Go check out the website, forgottenfive.com. Follow them on Twitter, at RememberF5. And Nicholas, if it's cool with you, man, we'll check in weekly and kind of maybe take a look at who's making some noise in the American, the MAC, CUSA, Sun Belt, and MAC as well, if you're down with it.
So, sounds good to me.
Sounds good, man. Thanks for coming on today, bud.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yep, for sure. Quick break. We come back, we'll continue. See, Jordan, you learned, you know, I was going to tell you this, and we got kind of got caught up in prep stuff. One of the things that I enjoyed yesterday as well, like in talking to the coaches and seeing what some of these other conferences are, and obviously we follow the American with Tulane in here, in Southland, right? I mean, we're going to have Coach Rebo tomorrow live at Barker Mitsubishi. 12:15, we have Coach on live over there in Houma. So if you're in and around lunchtime, you want to shake Coach's hand, want to, you know, take a selfie. Jordan, you can take a selfie with Coach tomorrow. Coach kind of looks like the guy, though, if you...
He's going to be taking a selfie with me.
You know, is that what that is?
Yeah.
I'll be sure to ask him that if he wants to take a picture with Jordan the intern. But no, he'll be there tomorrow at 12:15. So stop on by, say hi to Coach Rebo. A lot of excitement about that. But here's what I'm getting at, right? So much focus is on the Power Five and, you know, other schools, there's rivalries, there's championships, there's a lot of excitement in their seasons. And I think that's what I enjoyed yesterday. Didn't you? And it's kind of cool to talk to Nicholas about some of the other schools, too. I mean, I get it. It's not the Big Ten and the national championships and stuff like that. But it doesn't mean that to those schools and to those players, it doesn't mean a lot. get what I'm getting at? Are you learning? You're learning. You see what I mean by that? Did that make any sense?
Wait, what
to
did you just say?
Exactly. Hour one brought to you by the King Firm. You know, I'm trying to learn you something, and you.
I'm trying to learn you something.
Yes, I'm trying to learn you something, and the entire time, what were you just doing just now?
I was
plugging in your MacBook so it doesn't run out of juice.
Hey, I brought my. I'm learning. I brought my own charger.
Play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. Is that what you've learned? Two summers, 504-909-KING. We'll be back with some top stories, some interesting news in and around the world of sports. Next on ESPN New Orleans.
It's the Summer Passport sales event.
Going on now at Barker Mitsubishi.
Get 0% APR for 72 months.
Plus, make no payments for 90 days.
You can own a brand new 2018 Outlander Sport with zero down and just $299 a month.
Or get into a new 2018 Outlander with a third row seat.
For only $329 a month with no money down.
This is not a lease. You own it.
Plus, all these new Barker Mitsubishis come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty.
0% APR for 72 months, plus no payments for 90 days.
Only at Barker Mitsubishi, located at the Big 3 Auto Corner.
Where St. Charles meets West Tona Boulevard in Houma.
Come on, get your passport for saving.
Excludes CT and Ellen, select models with approved credit. Some customers will not qualify. 72 months, 4.9% APR. Warranty excludes Evolution and IMIEV. 0% and 90-day payment may not combine with factor cash rebate. Must finance the Mitsubishi. See Barker for details at 73118.
The Sports Hangover is on the road. Join us as we broadcast live Wednesday, July 25th, 12 to 3 from Barker Mitsubishi, 190 West Tunnel Boulevard in Houma. It's the Sports Hangover live, 12 to 3 from Barker Mitsubishi in Houma, July 25th on ESPN New Orleans.
Archie Manning here for Thibodeau Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in First Comprehensive Sports Medicine Program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back. It is the Sports Hangover on ESPN. See what I just did there, Jordan? What? Don't you?
Up there he goes. I just turned off his mic. This is just no.
You cannot turn my mic. Get your fingers off of my mic.
Never do that ever again.
Why? That was talent.
No, that was embarrassing.
That was talent.
To you and skill. Carver.
That was skill.
No.
Probably
please.
Carver Shark's got a he's got a fever. Apparently he can get a fever teething.
Yep.
Or off a, after a shot.
You did it.
I didn't do anything.
You cursed them.
Let's do some top stories here on the Sports Hangover.
Here's a look at what's making news. Let's check out the Sports Hangover's top stories.
Nothing like having controversy. At training camp for your Atlanta Falcons, that's right, Julio. Not that I'm blaming T.O., but it's really coincidental. Little coincidink, right? That Julio Jones hangs out with T.O. all summer, and now Julio, his unhappiness continues. That's right, you didn't see him at OTAs or minicamp. Once a new deal, according to several people this morning, he will not report to camp on Thursday. Does he want that new contract? He wants it reworked. Falcons apparently are aware. Now, he could be fined up to $40,000 each day that he misses. Falcons' first practice is Friday. The team, last week, if you remember, the news came out. They said, look, they let it be known. They called Julio's reps, maybe T.O. They said, hey, when you're done eating the popcorn, we're not reworking your deal, so we expect to see you next week. Well, it's not happening. Falcons owner Arthur Blank told The Athletic that he does not plan to get involved in any negotiations over Jones's contract at this time. Nothing makes you feel better than when the team owner goes, hey, man, and nothing I can do about it. Right? I mean, you're Julio Jones. You're like, what do you mean you're not getting involved? I thought I was the guy. I thought I was, I'm Numero Uno. What do you, you're not getting involved. Arthur Blank's like, hey, I got, you know, I mean, I got to get those Halloween decorations shipped over to Home Depot. We're already, he's probably making the final decisions as to what inflatables are going to carry for Christmas. You know, when you walk in over to the garden section, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Be honest, do you choose Lowe's over Home Depot because of the Falcons? I know people that actually do. I have a neighbor down the street, refuses to go to Home Depot because Arthur Blank owns it.
Wow.
Refuses. And then I say, well, you know Lowe's is based in Charlotte, right? Like, you know it's based in Charlotte.
I've probably been
home of your Carolina Kitty Cats.
Probably been to Home Depot more than I've been to Lowe's,
honestly. So in other words, you're a Falcons lover.
Oh, yeah.
This just in, Jordan Kleber loves himself the Atlanta Falcons. Anyway, so look, here's the thing. Jordan, you know this, and a lot of lists that we've gone over the last several weeks have the Atlanta Falcons as a favorite to either win the division, or they have the best arsenal, they have the best weaponry. What are you pointing at now?
So we're back to the 50 NFL insider ranking.
Here we go.
The tier one, tier two, tier three.
Yes.
Okay, I guess he's tier one. I'm not happy with this, but like, you know.
Well, Noodle Arm is an MVP, so I'm sure he's tier one.
No, he's not.
He's not tier one.
He's not tier one.
Really?
But guess who is a tier one?
Well, the fact that you said you're not happy with this, then that means it's not Drew Brees?
No, it is Drew Brees, but.
Well, why are you not happy with it?
Who's before Drew Brees? Oh. Is what I'm not happy with.
Well, it's got to be Cam Newton. It's not Jameis Winston.
No.
Jameis Winston is ranked above
Drew
Brees?
No.
Well, then who?
Aaron Rodgers at number one.
I thought
one.
You meant the division. See, you
Tom
let me.
Brady.
Right.
Tier 1, 2.
Right.
Tier 1, Drew Brees, 3.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, you know, overall. He's, like,
yeah,
he's
right.
1, 2,
third
3.
Ranked tier 1 player.
Ben Roethlisberger, 4, tier 2.
Tier 2? Yes. Where's Noodle Arm?
Tier 2, 5, okay. Matt Ryan.
All right. But anyway, so there's controversy in Atlanta. Does he show up? Does he not? Here's the deal. Jones signed a 5-year, $71 million contract in 2015. That included a $12 million signing bonus. 47 of that was guaranteed. His base salary, though, this season, a measly $10.5 million, Jordan. Measly. $10.5 million. He feels he's outworked his contract. So we'll keep you posted on that. Speaking of deals, couple of deals in the NBA. One taken, the other, we'll see. The Cavs. Are you surprised? But it's Kevin Love extension. I mean, for a guy that, well, I guess, you know, with LeBron gone, they might actually like him there. Poor dude. Seriously. That guy got so much grief the entire time LeBron. I know people.
He also got so much green just
yeah,
now.
See, that's, I knew that was coming. He also got a ring because of LeBron. All right. Anyway. He signed a 4-year, $120 million extension with the Cavs. When you add this year, that basically is 5 years, $145. Kevin Love saying, I'm taking the money. Shaq over the weekend, by the way, when he was in town screaming a couple of the alphas were doing some charitable work in and around the city. He was asked over the weekend, I don't know if you saw, over the weekend about Boogie. He didn't like what Boogie did. He says, I'd have taken the 2 for $40. You take the money, you do it the right way. You do it both. So he said, somebody great once told me, do you want rings and chase championships or do you want the money? Do you want to do both? And Shaq's like, I want both. I would have taken 2 for $40 and tried to win a ring. Not a lot of people backing Boogie. Just letting you know. Are you going to watch the Showtime show?
Yes, just so I could tweet after how much of a bum he
is. By the way, here's the one thing that I want to make sure. Have you gotten the slides. Remember, it was a 48-hour special for $29. You could get the official, what was it, zero doubt.
Oh, slides.
Yeah, hashtag zero doubt slides in the Golden State Warrior colors.
Look like some Kmart
at
slippers.
The Boogie. Well, but it's $29.99. I mean, it's priced right. It's not like Big Baller Brand, which would have been $3.99 for some slides. Just saying.
At least they're big ballers.
You would get big ballers over DeMarcus Cousins slides?
Hey, at least the big ballers playing in the game.
Stop it.
Dude's sitting on the bench for half the season.
Wow. Dwayne Wade, he's a free agent. Somebody at the gym over the weekend came up to me and said, hey, why don't the Pels go after Dwayne Wade?
Please, no.
Well, I'm just saying, free agent Dwayne Wade has a three-year, $25 million offer to play over in China. The Zhejiang Golden Bulls, according to Chinese media reports. The deal, which is before taxes, would make Wade the highest paid player in China, slightly ahead of
China.
Andre Lachti. There you go. It also would be the largest, one of the largest overseas deals. Josh Childress, do you remember him? $6 million after taxes from the Greek club Olympiacos in 2008, back in the day. He's 36, finished last season with the Heat. He's played 15 seasons. He's a 12-time All-Star. I don't know. Depends how much money he wants. I mean, look, I think he easily could play the Rondo role, right? Make the right calls and bring some of that leadership. It's just, again, how much money? Because, Jordan, the Pels don't have any, really, to be honest with you. Also, to wrap up top stories, good old Urban Meyer. We'll just leave it at this. His receiver coach, Zach Smith, a couple of stories broke over the last several days of domestic abuse. Urban Meyer says the decision to fire him was a very tough call. Is it? Is it a tough call when reports come out that you have a restraining order out by his ex? Is it a tough call, Urban? Sports Hangover continues next. Hour number two. Hour one was brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. Check them out online. KingInjuryFirm.com. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.